with you all the way on Impact 103.
Welcome, ladies first.
Good morning. Welcome to Surviving Life with the Vambilis with myself, Letitia Vambili, and of course,
Danny Vambili. I'm not alone in studio today.
Finally.
Yeah, Letitia, where have you been?
I keep jumping in and out of life, but I'm hoping that now I'm fully back in, both feet, hands and everything.
Oh, so you were in a different timeline.
In a different timeline, time zones, you know.
Well, Letitia, welcome back on the show. What are we talking about?
Today we're talking about church versus entertainment. So we need you guys to get your phones in your hands because we want to hear from you this morning. Why are we going to church? Well, we ought to be going to worship God, to read and hear from the Word, to be taught, to be challenged, to be discipled, to fellowship with other believers, and of course to be inspired into action among many, many other things. Yet on any given Sunday, if the band were to abruptly come to a halt, the singing would go faint. You might even hear silence, stares, and even irritation. Today we beg the question, what are we doing at church? Are we watching a play, a concert, or are the congregants an active part of what is happening even spiritually at that Sunday service?
All right. This is some heavy stuff. 0713640376. Can we actually hear from you? You know, what makes you go to a specific church?
Or what makes you not want to go to church at all?
Gentle Flows, Ernie Smith, Jesus, I Need You. And before that, we had Glory and My Good, We Are Messengers. You are still hanging out with the Vambilis. And guess what? Letitia is taking it away.
We're talking about what makes you go to church. And one of the biggest reasons I hear about going to church is worship. And I think it's important for us to even start with what is the definition of worship. Well, there are many ways that we can define worship, even in the world, even secularly, but I'd rather look to scripture to see what is said a bit about worship. And we see it many places, but I want to look at Matthew 4 verses 9 to 10, when Jesus had just finished his 40-day fast, and the enemy came and said, I will give you everything except you bow down and worship me. In verse 10, we see Jesus reply to the enemy, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord with the Lord your God and serve him only. The reason I chose this particular conversation, if you would, about worship in scripture is because it doesn't speak of just worship as being this abstract thing that you do to honor God, but it also then goes on to speak of service. Now, if I go into the secular definition of worship, it says to worship something is to prize it above everything else, to honor it as the thing of the highest, most importance, and to act accordingly. I thought the importance of using what Jesus said to Satan about worship is that, number one, it's Jesus. Number two, it's the New Testament, so it's what and how we ought to believe. And Jesus, in that answer, he paired both the worship of the Lord with an action. And I think this is what I want today's conversation to be about as it relates it to worship, because we talk about it a lot as something that is abstract. But this morning, I want to ask the question, what is the posture of worship? What is the dress code of worship? What is the attitude as well as the spirit of worship, Danny?
Yeah, I think that the word worship, in our time and age, when we hear worship, we hear singing.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So it becomes quite interesting to look at worship from a holistic view, that it's not just the singing part, as we see it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm trying to be so careful, because at the same time, the singing is worship, yet it's not the only definition
of worship.
It's not, in fact, sometimes I even think the singing itself can also not be worship.
Exactly. But we're going to get to there. We actually have a message right now that came through about worship and someone saying that they love the worship experience within their church. And we would actually ask the question, what would you say worship is when you go to church on a Sunday? You should let us know as well.
Keshni says, what makes me go to church is the worship experience. You walk in and you feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. When you go into worship, you can just let go and lock eyes on Him. You're an SLWV. You can send us a WhatsApp on 071-3640-376. Even a voice note. You know, tell us, what is the reason you go to church? And we would like to ask you, keep it within like a minute or so that we can play it on air. Thank you.
A very good afternoon to you guys. Thank you for such an amazing topic. So for me personally, I do my best to keep my flame burning for Jesus and keep my fire burning every day of the week and not just on Sunday. And I do my best to stay aware of the whispers of the Holy Spirit. But I do find that going to church just is that little extra stop for me to get my lamp oil refilled by the Word of God. So my favorite part of church is actually the Word and the preaching, because I find it to be a practical equipping through the Word to take home, apply on a day-to-day basis, be challenged, look at where am I being deceived in my life, where do I need to make changes, where do I need to seek God more. So that's what church is about for me. The fellowship, the coffee, the worship is incredible. However, I do find that the Word is really what I am after. Thank you.
ImpactRadio.co.za.
You're listening to the beautiful sounds of Katie Reynolds, Keep Going. I think I'm enjoying the song a little too much in studio this morning. You're still on SLWV with myself, Letitia Vambili, and of course, you're also joined by Danny V. We had a great message just now from Jeanette, who was talking about what she loves about going to church. It's about the fellowship and also the discipleship, the Word, and how she can make practical changes in her life to incorporate some of these conversations that we have on Sundays. Now, earlier, if you joined us, we talked specifically about worship and how so many of us would say we go to the church because of the worship. But did you know that worship is also a doing word? It's a posture. It is also a dress code. We have to talk about fashion. You know, we can't just say that because we're in the New Testament that dress code does not matter, because it mattered in the Old Testament. It mattered in the Old Covenant. If we look at Exodus 28, we see the Lord being very clear with the priests and the Levites and Aaron about what they were to wear when they came into His presence. And it's broken down quite nicely there in Exodus 28, the breastplate, the undergarments as well. And everything had its own meaning and purpose. Now, we don't have to live necessarily by the exact same act, but we live according to the leading of the Holy Spirit in this new covenant. But the Holy Spirit is big on honor. So Danny, what is honorable attire when it comes to us coming into the house of worship?
Yeah, I think this question is so important and really key, because already when you look at our culture, when we are dressing, you know, in this century, the idea is the fashion must point to you. Mm-hmm. It must make you stand out. You must look nice. The young people say you must look fresh. You must have the vibes, you know, and the drip as well. So it becomes a bit complex when what is vibey in one context, a person wants to take that same drip into the church setup, you know, because we also have a culture where our clothing are really designed to show off the body. You know, you must be the focal point. And I think this becomes problematic when you have someone, for example, who is leading worship, but the entire dress code on them is pointing towards their bodies and not towards the Lord. You know, or you've got people who are just so inappropriate and not even aware anymore that they dress inappropriately, because in their daily lives they're inappropriate. You know, so it's causing a situation where, as much as in the past people were very dogmatic about what you wear to church, you know, so I feel like we rebutted
it so far that now the honor portion, to say, listen, if you were having a very, very, very important meeting, how would you dress to that meeting versus how we meet dress to meet the Lord? It's now gone so far.
It's gone too far. I think we're trying to say, hey, come to the Lord the way you are. But now, maybe what you were is inappropriate, you know? And now you're coming to the children of the Lord and, you know, people can't focus, or, you know, you're just not dressed right. But we look at different things. Now, when you want to have this conversation, the first thing you'll be accused of is being judgmental. You know, hey, don't judge people, blah, blah, blah. Okay. But every setting has clothing that's appropriate and inappropriate. There's just things you wouldn't wear to work.
Let me ask a question and maybe you can answer us. Remember, our WhatsApp line is 0713640376. I saw a man of God on the pulpit in very tight short shorts. What do you think about that?
No, that there's nothing to think
Danny,
about.
Danny, I'm not even asking you.
I'm like, before the listeners even get in, brother, what are you wearing?
I've seen a lot on today's pulpits, and we really want to hear from you.
Yeah, and then you've got the prophetesses of today, who I think they are more slay queen than the slay queen.
Oh, no, it's getting too much in studio. Listen, we need to take a break, but we need to hear from you. So send us a message about what you think about church and dress code.
1-3, come alive to the beat of life. For this moment, now I see them fighting for me.
Limo Blaze. Ooh. Yeah, no, I love that song. I wish I was home. I'd press repeat. Letitia, what are we talking about?
I love that you said you wish you were home to press repeat, because one thing about Limo Blaze is going to get you on your feet. He's going to get you dancing. He's going to get you singing. And that's another part about church on Sundays. It is the singing versus the worshiping. I want to take your attention to Colossians 3 verse 16 that says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. So there's a biblical basis for singing. And of course, dancing, we see it with David as well. David also sang to the Lord. Now, a church service, as we know, is made or broken by the praise and worship team. Did you guys just hear that song? Didn't it make you want to stop in traffic and just dance outside your, you know, your car window? This has prompted us to think that if the singing isn't the best on a Sunday, then maybe the service was bad as well. So many churches will tend to have excellent singers but bad worshiper. The question is, what is a worshiper and how is it done through song? Anointing versus talent. And I have here written, does anointing mean mediocrity, but does talent sometimes mean defilement?
Yeah, I think this line, especially for someone like me, where you've been, I've been on radio since, 2006, you know? Mm-hmm. So you get to interact with a lot of musicians. And at some point, I was on stage as well.
Yeah.
You know, I've had the privilege of working with, very talented individuals and groups and all of that. And it's sad to tell the truth that sometimes the talent overshadows
the anointing.
Anointing. Mm. It overshadows the lifestyle of genuine worship. And it also can so easily become about fame.
Yeah.
You know, that today when you meet people who are talented, who can actually sing and, you know, they can do the talent things that we like, they can hit the
runs.
Notes.
They can do the runs.
They can, yeah. They don't even want to be involved in worship, you know, in the commercialized version of it,
mm-hmm.
you know, especially the Christian one, because they're like, I'm just not seeing God in it.
Can I say something controversial?
No, let's talk.
So Danny knows my life in song. You know, he knows I've got a robust history with music, many choirs, etc., etc. And let me tell you something about worshiping versus singing. There's a lot of things you can't say. There's a way the Lord consecrates us mm-hmm. privately and says, walk this way, and you're not allowed to tell anybody. I'm going to tell you guys on air that as a worshiper, one of the things I am not allowed to do is to listen or sing to secular music.
Mm.
And to someone else, it may sound small, but when the Lord called me to it in prayer, he said, Letitia, your lips are consecrated to me. Now, I've seen a video online where a girl was worshiping. She was practicing for Sunday on a Saturday, and she went into an Adele song because the music sounded similar. And I remembered the Lord bringing it to my heart, saying, where are her ears when she's not with me? Because that mouth belongs to me. And I just wanted to be a call to worshiper. If you're a worshiper, please send us a message and tell us the ways in which you are consecrated. Because I think we don't take seriously enough that there are articles and ornaments that are set apart for the Ark of the Covenant. There are goblets you can't drink from and say, oh, let me drink wine here. And I really think when it comes to worshiping, there's a spirit with which we're worshiping. We're ministering in song. And so the lifestyle privately must also follow, because we know what's in other music as well.
Yep. And maybe in closing, I also feel like the church has demanded entertainment so much from the worshipers that it's become a problem, you know. And now the same church that wanted entertainment has seen how far things have gone, you know, to a point where, you know, groups are being boycotted, you know, events are being boycotted. Christian artists who want to associate so much with the world for validation are being called out, you know. So it's becoming a problem, and we need to ask ourselves, what came first, you know, the chicken or the egg? And where do we go from here?
Good morning, Impact Radio. Yeah, I think my name is Alois. I think people should check the way they dress when they go to church. In particular, I'm not saying that it's always ladies, but especially when it comes to ladies, because you'll be going there dressed up in a small skirt and, you know, showing your legs and stuff like that. And other men, you know, will be looking at you. Instead of concentrating and receiving the word from God, but yeah, their eyes are focused on you, and you know it stops people from worshiping and focusing on the word itself. Thank you.
Hi, Danny. The things that you guys are sharing there are powerful. You know, when it comes to worshipers, there are even some church where you find the worship team, the members, they would have gone to other places, gone clubbing, gone to entertain themselves, and then they come in the morning and they are on time for church, and they don't understand the anointing, the consecration that God has upon them. I think this conversation should actually bring some light into how worship leaders and worship team members should actually conduct themselves. Thank you.
We love how you said, and they are on time. They are on time with defilement. Guys, we have to be careful when we're going to the house of the Lord. It's really not for our entertainment, and it's neither for our boredom either. Let's look at scripture. Hebrews 10 verses 24 to 25 says, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as we see the day approaching." So we've got there in the book of Hebrews that says we should actually be having these conversations that encourage one another to meet in the way of the Lord. Now, when we come to the house of God, it's neither for our entertainment, as we've been saying this morning, nor for our boredom. It's not for us to come on a Sunday and to say, you know, today the word was so boring, Danny. I was not entertained by the word. I think it's important to be careful and to recognize that when we go to the house of the Lord, there's an aspect of fellowship to it, which we heard in one of the previous voice notes as well, where the Lord calls us for each other unto each other. You may be called to the house of the Lord because the Lord wants you to talk to Sister Mang Mang this morning, or talk to brother whoever this morning. And to tie in one of the voice notes that we just listened to now, that call that's outside of just coming to listen to the word, whether that entertained you or not, are things we will stand before the Lord for, also because of temptation. Now, the brother in the voice note spoke about the dress that easily leads one to temptation when they're trying to listen to the word of God. But Danny, I called Danny when I was watching this one pastor, a man of God, good looking, I must say, who had the tighty whities on stage, and he was sitting on a bar stool, guys. And so there was something happening with those shorts that also kept me from listening to what he was saying. And so we have to hold one another accountable to say, please, if you can't worship in that attire, what do I mean worship? We talked about the posture of worship early on. Listen, in the house of the Lord, there's abandon. If you can't lift up your hands, if you can't roll on the floor, if you can't kneel before your Father, do not wear that attire.
Yeah, I like the part of if you cannot kneel, because that means everything is too tight.
Yes, because now there's the song, "Every knee will bow." You can't bow now because...
And I don't know if you've noticed, though, that these days, when we do sing the songs about bowing,
nobody's
bowing. You know, and I don't know, that thing convicts me a lot. You know, you'll find me bowing because it's like, but guys, aren't we saying...
And men, if your pants are too tight to bow, we also have a problem there with the belts.
You know, and then I also think we're so woke. This generation is so woke that people will say, yeah, but if you're distracted, then it's your mind that's distracting you. And
but the Bible does call us to be accountable.
It can't be that way. You know, we can't allow it to flow in such a way that no one can be corrected. You know, and we've created an environment where everyone is doing what they want. I think that's inappropriate. And maybe it's starting in the schools, because we've taken away teachers' rights to even correct our children. You know, so you're finding this ripple effect where no one can be corrected at school. No one can be corrected at home. Now no one can be corrected at church. We want to hear from you. You can WhatsApp us on 071-364-0376. Or also, if you do send us a voice note, please try to keep it under 1 minute so that we can share it on air.
Bringing you the heart of the music, Impact 103.
Wow, all the messages are coming in, and it's time for us not just to hear from you, okay, but we really want to express the heart of God on these different topics.
Extra, extra, read all about it. Extra, extra, read all about it.
Extra, extra, read all about it.
It's finally time to read some of your messages this morning. We got a message from Shannon that said, "Hello, I've always been thinking how much time and money people spend on themselves, looking great for an event and even going out with friends or a wedding, but not caring about how they dress for church." I love that, Shannon.
Yeah.
Gets you thinking, doesn't it?
And we always say things like, if you're going to meet the president, how are you going to dress?
Mm-hmm.
You know, but for church,
we can just come anyhow. So the balance between too much and too little. We've got another message here that says, "I believe dress code is very much important, being that when you present yourself to people, people see you first before they get to talk to you. So how you look can give people an idea of the kind of person that you are. So dressing inappropriate is wrong."
I remember a time when you and I were doing TBN, and one of the things the Lord actually told us to do was to not dress the way we normally do.
And you what's know? That, Danny? How do we normally?
We should post a picture
of, flamboyant.
Of just how we look today. And the Lord really told us, you know what? For me personally, the Lord told me, you are going to be in a suit. And I thought it was weird, you know, because I'm not one of those, I have to preach in the suit type of person. But our TV show was going to a couple of countries, okay? And later on, we found out in some of those countries, it's even offensive for a man to preach without a suit on.
Yeah, I was told by the Holy Spirit to wear a duke for the show, and I was never allowed to show my shoulders, if I can remember correctly. I don't think there was ever an outfit where I showed my shoulders. And when we really sought the Lord was like, audiences can refuse you because they have different convictions with me. There are countries that have convictions that women should cover up. And so you can't go there
or not show their hair,
screaming liberty, you know, when that's their conviction. So that's dress code is important.
Good day, Impact family. I totally agree with you on the dress code. One, not to restrict anyone, but people are misunderstanding the whole thing. Come to God as you are thing. This is referring to our spirituality, not the dress code.
Can I throw a ring of controversy in there?
Okay.
This whole come as you are. Can somebody please, the WhatsApp line 0713640376, please send me the scripture that says come as you are. Then we'll continue.
And we'll continue. He finishes off by saying, we need to dress appropriately when approaching God's throne of grace.
Amen. We've got another message from Jeanette that says, "May I share? I think that worship is how we honor God in our day-to-day basis. It is a complete surrendering to Jesus in every way. How we dress is part of how we honor God and how we show up in the house of God. You must decide how you want to look, or how you're looking is honoring God. It's all a part of it." She also mentioned that to one of the statements that we'd made, she said, "Wow, where are your ears when you're not listening to God, or when you're not speaking to God? What are you being intimate with?" I have a question according to your question, Jeanette, according to your comment. You know, today we're speaking about the house of the Lord and how we approach the house of the Lord in honor. But we know that when God speaks of his house, he's referring to his children. He's referring to you and me. And therefore, our bodies are also homes. We say, let's honor the Lord with our dress code because we're going to church. Can we honor the Lord with our dress code because he lives in us? Is that a conversation that we can have? To say it's not about the fact that I'm coming to church, but it's about the fact that I am the house of the Lord, and where the Holy Spirit inhabits needs to be honored in a particular way, day and night?
Yeah, I think this is where we are criticized a lot by other religions. And yeah, maybe we need to have that conversation. Taking a local 3C life, the song is called Holy.
Come alive to the beat of life with Impact 103.
We're reading your messages as it relates to today's topic about honor, worship, dress code, conduct, etc. within the church. We have a message. Danny, would you like to read one of the messages?
Okay. This one says, morning sis, I can identify with your testimony as I broke my ankle. Well, hold on. There we go. Also, I'd like to know where the scripture is, but we can go to Jesus as we are, but he will surely not leave us the way we are. As we mature as believers, we will know what honors him. So, Letitia, where is that scripture?
Come, so, Cindy, thank you so much for your reply. The reason I asked earlier, please send me the scripture that says, come as you are, is because as believers, we have to become accountable and responsible for something that we have done specifically to unbelievers. Whenever you speak to an unbeliever or an unsaved person about honor and holiness, especially as it relates to conduct and dress code, they come to you with this come as you are scripture that doesn't exist. The come as you are concept exists all around scripture, but it's up to us as believers to teach it in a holistic manner. There is a Jesus that transforms and that will never reject you coming to him in your authenticity, even if that authenticity is sin. But when the woman with the issue of blood, who was called defiled by everyone else, was able to touch the hem of Jesus's garments, she was transformed. And the problem with us as believers saying come as you are, that's now been adopted by the world, is they are being introduced to a Messiah whose garment you touch and stay the same. And we have to become accountable for this lack of transformation. So if you are a believer and you find yourself in the midst of other believers and you are dressed inappropriately, this speaks to a lack of transformation, and we have to begin to ask ourselves why.
Let me just touch on a few messages.
I need to, you know what?
as a male pastor, you know, you even have to be careful because, you know, the feminists are listening on the other side. And on this side, there are women who feel they've been oppressed by the church. You know, so it's good to let you as women have this conversation. And us also affirming that, you know, there's just some things that are inappropriate. Rebecca says, now this one we need to listen together. Good day. Loving the topic. To answer the question, come as you are verse, she gives Romans 10:9-10. And then she says, no dress code. Oh, no. She says, no dress code. It's a problem, especially in these big churches. I'm from a small church where people wear respectfully there. And then she adds that in the big churches, they dress and make you feel like they are going to a concert.
Ooh. Come on, Danny. We know how you feel about concerts. Was it Romans 10:9-10?
Yes, Romans 10, verse 9-10.
Okay.
Okay. Bella then said, I agree that we should dress appropriately. People are really scared to speak up about dress codes in order not to offend. Yes, you're right, Bella, especially if you're a man. But the very same people will think twice before dressing the same way when they have to go for a job interview.
Thank you.
So why wear it to church?
And this is what we are trying to say this afternoon. In our generation, we have such a lack of honor among one another that it's now being translated in how we come into the presence of the Lord, and that needs to be corrected.
Then Zintle, she says, where is the volume? There's lots of emojis here, fire emojis, you know, claps. And then she says, Hypo, please say it again, because he lives in us, not occasionally, but
Simba understood Mufasa lived in him all the time. So he had to walk as a king in the jungle. Yet here we are. And Cynthia, you're so right. Because the Holy Spirit lives in us.
Are we really quoting Lion King?
Listen, there's a reason we watch those movies. It's not just because we're children. There's an understanding of who you are. When you know who you are and what lives in you, you behave and dress and act accordingly.
Yeah, guys, this is really going down. We love hearing from you. 071-364-0376. Please do send us your comments, you know, and I think this kind of conversation is very healthy for the body of Christ, you know, because sometimes you genuinely don't know.
Yeah.
And, you know, and people are afraid to talk. They don't want to offend you. But, yeah, the Vambilis, here they are.
Connection to what we are saying now, I want to say that we must understand that when the people of the world were anyhow, they were with intention. I'll give an example with a typical woman. All the prostitutes that you find, maybe especially at night at some corners, they will always wear short skirt that reveals, and also they reveals their thighs and reveals their boobs and all that. So they had intention is to attract men, to make them, to arouse men so that they can sleep with them. So you can imagine if a Christian is going like that, that means that Christian is already doing things according to the world, which the Bible is against it. So my part is to say, guys, let's also remember that we are not of this world, and therefore we are not supposed to follow the system and the things that this world is doing. We must always follow what the Spirit teaches us. The Spirit does not teach us to lure men, to make them sleep with us, because we understand the context of sexuality as far as Christianity is concerned. So, yeah, that's what I want to say, Ure. We need to always remember the word in everything that we do, that our actions and our words, we need to watch them. We can't just speak anyhow or act anyhow. We need to understand that the Bible or the word of God is our standard in everything that we do. Thank you. Amen.
If you're just joining us and wondering what are they talking about, that was a voice note from Fulu, and she was talking about how we ought to be intentional, have godly intention with how we dress. You're on Surviving Life with the Vambilis, and today our topic is church is not for your entertainment, or rather church versus entertainment. What are we doing at church? We ought to be worshiping the Lord, reading and hearing from the word, to be taught, to be challenged, to be discipled, to fellowship with one another, and of course to be inspired into action among many, many, many things. But today we find ourselves going to the house of the Lord for many other things as well. And today we ask the question, why do you go to church? What do you gather from that fellowship? And speaking of fellowship, this is the part that I want to talk about next, to say fellowship versus gossip.
Uh-oh.
You know, there's something about the enemy. The enemy is not afraid of holy places. If you want a reference, just go to the book of Job. He will appear when the sons of God come to worship, and he will be there as an accuser in the holy places. And I feel like one of the ways in which we see the enemy still masquerading in the holy places is how a time of fellowship can quickly shift into church gossip. And I don't know about you, but church gossip is some of the worst gossip you can get out there. If you've ever been a victim of church gossip, you have to WhatsApp us. The number is 071-364-060376. Danny.
Yeah, I think this one is very deep. There's only one other community I know that are better at gossip than the church. I won't mention them. From that community, by the way.
The shade.
If you know, you know. But honestly, it's very sad that a lot of people, even when they go to church now, they don't want to stay after church. They're like, hey, let me go, because of the church gossip culture. And, you know, when you read the Bible, there's so much admonition you know, and especially addressed to older women to teach the younger women, you know, how to not go in that direction. And it's not to say men don't gossip as well, because sometimes, yeah, there are brothers who, yeah, they'll gossip so, yeah, like you'll yes. think they work for Daily Sun. But anyway, coming back to our topic, I really pray that we will address the situation, because church is supposed to be family. Church is supposed to be a safe space, you know. And yes, we've got broken people in the church. It's not a perfect place. And if we don't address this issue of gossip, what we're doing is we're creating loneliness in the church.
Mm.
Because a lot of people, I mean, some of you, you go to a churches where there's 2,000 people, but you don't have one friend. You know, you don't even stay to talk to people because some form of hurt, offense, which is also problematic, because the Lord warns us about, you know, taking offense. If you're walking in offense, yeah, you need to check yourself. But really, there's a toxic culture. As much as I hate the word toxic, there's a toxic culture of gossip that's been created by, we don't know who they are. You know,
and I think that's what we're asking this afternoon. What has created the culture of gossip within our faith, where we know scripture is very harsh on gossipers? In fact, the only other gossip is kind of like Satan. He does that.
Yeah.
And so the question is, how did this spirit enter the church and why is it so rife?
Yeah, and if you are participating, or you know people who are participating, like, you guys need to have another meeting and really address the fact that God hates gossip. Gossip is not good, guys. Gossip is a sin. Gossip is sinful. Gossip is bad. Gossip is not right. Gossip is evil. What else can I add?
I was actually going to add, we need to talk about just now, how does gossip affect counseling in the church? Boy, I'm blessed. What you mean? I got
breath in my lungs, don't you see? Boy, I'm blessed. Yo, I am loving this vibes. Limo Blaze again, blessed. Letitia, what's going on?
A lot is going on. We're talking about how gossip affects counseling within the churches. And it is quite rife, because we tend to find a culture, especially myself and Danny, who are Christian counselors, where people refuse to counsel in the church homes that they come from. It's not that people don't have church homes. They have church homes, but something has happened.
Yeah, and I think, sadly, you and I have experienced this.
Yeah, yeah.
Where we've gone to counselors, and then we've had our business out there, you mm-hmm. know, and we've experienced it. And I think the Lord really made sure that you and I are so hurt by by really having someone spread all your dirty laundry everywhere, like about your in-laws, about everything, you know, just to teach us. Like when we started our counseling center, that to make sure that there is no gossip. Because, man, doesn't it hurt?
It
I was hurt.
Oh, man, yeah. That stuff ran me out of the church so quick. Because
my goodness.
You are entrusting this person because you think the Lord has sent them and all these wonderful things. And by the time you hear back what you said, there's even spice.
There's spice.
It's
there's
built
chicken.
Tongue. It's dry.
It's dry. It stood in the sun. The fat.
I have to read 2 Corinthians 12:20, and you can see the Apostle Paul was fearing the same thing. He said, "For I am afraid that when I come, I may not find you as I want you to be, and you may not find me as you want me to be. I fear that there may be discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, slander, gossip, arrogance, and disorder." One of these disorders is gossip, and so we've got a few messages that have come through as well.
All right, Cindy says, between us, my husband and I, okay, maybe that's between us. Okay, I'm not going to put
so we'll
it on
keep
air.
It between us. Let's read the next message on gossip and slander.
Okay, the Bible generally condemns gossip. For example, Proverbs 16:28 says, "A perverse person stirs up conflict, and a gossip separates close friends.
And we know many people have left many ministries because they felt like they were talked about. It's also separating fellowship as well.
Yeah, and many big ministries, like big effective ministries, have been shut down by gossip.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think if there's a gossip problem in your ministry, you need to address it, because when that thing flows down, it kills the ministry. Someone actually, Nomava says, do you think the body is filthy, you know, experiencing Jezebel spirits, 2-centimeter skirts, gossip, and because the head itself is not healthy?
Well, they used to say you're preaching to the choir, and these days I think we do need to preach to the choir. I think that the buck starts with us. There's a lot happening on our pulpits, and this is why we're having these conversations, because before we can even think to clean up the world, we have to clean up house.
No, Mava just said something. It's painful, Letitia, but you and I will just have to enjoy it on her behalf. She says, we thank God for that wound to you guys.
Oh, no, no.
Now Mava, we have gold.
All these years later, you're the reason why these things happened to us. We cried, okay?
We're going
to
find you, No, Mava. No counseling for you. No, honestly speaking, you know, for me, going to a counselor, there's nothing more evasive than going to someone and thinking this is a safe space and then hearing it back from Durban. You know, you spoke in Pretoria, it comes back in Durban. And you're like, ha, Father, I went to your child, but we thank God that the trauma has brought out gold.
No, we need resolution. We have another person that sends a scripture in Timothy that has to do with gossip as well. They say they love the topic. The Bible verse is 1 Timothy 2:9. But Christians have lost their identity. May God help us. I honestly think we need help. I think we need cleansing. And that's why we're here, so that as a body of Christ, we can begin to have these conversations, figure out what has gone wrong, and allow the Holy Spirit to flow again.
Be transformed by the renewal of your mind. That one came in by Carmen. Says, happy to hear my favorite radio couple again. Thanks for this topic. I learned there are no verses that say come as you are. One can say it is implied in a few places, such as Isaiah, that mentions that he will wash your sins away.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, and she added, halala, when Letitia was hoying, you know. Tylo said, it's fascinating to observe the lifestyle of worshippers, as they often embody a rich tapestry of traditions and values. Whether through prayer, community service, or rituals, worshippers find unique ways to express their faith and connect with a higher power. It's not just about attending services, but also about living a life that reflects their beliefs, practicing kindness, compassion, and integrity daily. This lifestyle can bring a sense of peace, purpose, and belonging, making it a vital part of many people's lives.
No, thank you so much for your messages. We truly appreciate it. You're still with us, the Vambilis, and we'll be right back after a few announcements.
With you all the way on Impact 103.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's official. We need to have a very difficult but needed conversation. As we look at the messages that have come in, you know, it is very, very clear that as the body of Christ, we need to have a conversation with our leadership. You know, so right now I'm calling to the table pastors, elders, bishops, prophets, apostles,
teachers,
and worship leaders, ministry heads,
ushers,
counselors, all of you. Let's sit down. We need to have an honest conversation. A lot of people are leaving your church, not because they don't believe you are called, not because they've not seen the Lord's hand over your life, but because you are gossiping about your flock to your flock. And that thing is so dangerous. I personally have witnessed too many brilliant ministries shut down because there was so much gossip, And no one spoke out. Because when you speak out and you tell the leadership, guys, this is gossip, they make you out to be the bad person. And right now, there's a very long message that came in. It starts by saying, between us, my husband and I need to make a big decision right now because of gossip and backstabbing. And people wearing masks, we waiting on the Lord to tell us if our season is over at our current church where we are. We have been having serious talks in love with our shepherds, but they are also part of the problem, sadly.
Oh, no.
You know, and then she says, you know, hey, what if they are blinded by their mistakes? Because of them, I know something bad about everyone in our small church. Beloved, that's bad. And if you as a pastor, you know, problematize the people who come to tell you the bad things that are happening in your church, what you're doing is you're missing the opportunity of fixing. Pastor, if you're a gossiper and it's being highlighted, maybe that's that hissing spirit. Remember, gossiping is in the tongue. That's a snake spirit. If church members are coming to tell you this is a problem, it's best you repent and you fix it. Maybe it's in your leadership. Maybe you guys have not noticed that in the way you address things, you expose other people's things. Beloved, if you don't fix it now, your church will shut down. And by the time it's shutting down, it's too late. If people have left your church and they've told you it's because of gossip and you've chosen to blame them instead of fixing it, you are breaking down your own ministry. And it's not you, it's the devil. He's come in, but he's also using you and your leadership. This thing is a very serious matter. It's a very sensitive one because you might get offended and feel like your flock is attacking you, and now you want... Pastor, if it's happening, it's happening. Rather address it than lose godly, faithful, committed people who want to be there, who do see your anointing, but they also see your tongue has been affected by gossip. Letitia is like, she's just putting the thumbs up. She doesn't want to add to this because, no, this thing is sad. Many beautiful ministries are dying due to gossip. Lauren Daigle, waiting. Letitia, let's say goodbye.
As usual, it's been a wonderful time and an amazing show with you guys this Wednesday morning / afternoon. And we just want to say our goodbyes. But before we say our goodbyes, we've got a few little morsels, little words of wisdom that we want to give. And it's really to the shepherds, it's to the heads of the flock to say, listen, as it relates to the house of God, God assigns certain people to take care of his place of worship. And if you are a shepherd, it's time to come. We're going to have a really quick conversation before we go. It all starts at the altar. It all starts at the altar. Listen, it doesn't matter how some of these pervasive spirits have entered the house of God, whether it's the inappropriate posture, the inappropriate dress code, the inappropriate worship leaders, or the inappropriate conduct. It's all happening under the umbrella of a shepherd who has been called to man that altar. And before we go today, we just wanted to make sure we speak to the shepherds to say, man of God, woman of God, however the spirit entered the house of God, you have the power by the death and resurrection of Christ to kick it out before it tarnishes the things and people of Christ.
I hope you still love us. 0713640376. Just say we love you, okay? Because,
we'll see you next week. Thank you so much for today's show.
The Vambillies are out. Bye.
Tune in on the Impact 103 app.
See if you remember this one. Raindrops.